Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brandon Collins, Drunk Black History, and today we have a very special guest, comedian, educator, storyteller, father, Javon Johnson. How you doing, man?
Thanks for having me, man. I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad I got your name right.
Listen, bro. I'm glad you did, you know, too.
We met doing the homie and Simeon Goodson show.
Shout out to Sim.
That's how we got acquainted. And I remember I had to bring up the talent because I was the producer of the show. I remember going up to you being like, hey, man, probably going to mess up your name. And you were like, what? Like, you just met me, too. I was like, yeah, I just want to let you know, man. Just be a full transparent.
But, yeah, like, your name ain't shit. I'm going to mess it up. Right, I get you.
When you're an educator, like, do your students mess up your name a lot?
You know, it's funny. I mean, my last name is Johnson. That's, like, the most common name. Yeah, I'm like, if you know, fuck that up, you may need to be in special ed. But the first name, like I was telling you off camera, man, I get that a lot. And I don't know why. It's two syllables, Javon, you know? So it's all good, though. You did great, though, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Right. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Javon. Before we get into the subject, which some folks who are watching the video, they can see behind us who we're going to be talking about. But, you know, talk to me about your history with Black history. Like, how was it taught in your schools? How was it taught in your home? And, like, what's your relationship with Black history?
You know, it's funny. One thing as a comedian that always stands out to me as, like, you know, as a kid, you have these moments that you say, you know what? Right then there, and in that moment, I knew I was going to be a comedian. I knew I was going to be an actor.
Okay.
In sixth grade, I did Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech, right? And just standing up there on the podium in front of the assembly, you know, and saying those words, I just felt something. And afterwards, all the teachers and everybody was coming up to me, oh, Javon, you did a great job. Yeah, nah, for real. You know, I mean, I got made fun of by all the kids in school, but, you know, come on, man. I'm from Crown Heights, Brooklyn in the 90s. Yeah, it was like, come on.
They'll make fun of you about anything.
They don't care if it was Dr. King, Malcolm X, whoever, you know. But in that moment, I kind of got a love for public speaking. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where, you know, it started. Or I got that desire to speak in front of people. Now, to be honest, I never thought I would be a stand-up comedian. I grew up a smart, nerdy kid, big, thick glasses. So I got picked on a lot. But being able to have comebacks and snap back and protect myself also gave me the skill to come up with funny shit. Yeah. So that's where my love of comedy came from. And then when it comes to Black history, I grew up, you know, in a household that was very, you know, a lot of Black pride, right? Mm-hmm. I remember when I was about 5 years old, my mother came home with this pack of Black history cards.
Oh, wow.
You know, with facts. A lot, you know what, a lot of our Black history icons, because she knew that in our schools at that time, and even still it's kind of a lack of it, but really back then in the 90s, they weren't giving us, you know, a lot of the, of course, people talk about Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, you know, Rosa Parks, but that's kind of about it. It's limited. My mother wanted me to know, you know, what great a legacy and heritage I came from. So, you know, that's what stood out to me. And I always had a passion for learning more about our culture and our people. So I've been into, you know, Black history for years. Since I was a kid, it's been very important to me.
That's dope. And now you have a family, you have kids and everything like that. And how do you speak to them about Black history? Do you just wait till February? You talk about it all the time. Like, what's been your approach to it?
Well, I try to make sure, you know, kind of following in my mother's footsteps, that I give them information and they know where they come from. Okay. You know what I mean? They know great things, you know, Black people have done, some inventions we have made, you know what I mean, that people may not give us credit for. Now, I feel like I need to do more, you know, because going back to my upbringing, like Black History Month, my mother used to take me to the Schomburg Museum up in Harlem. Okay. We were from Brooklyn and things like that. So I need to do more, but I do make sure my kids know enough, you know what I mean? Not too much, because I don't want them to get their ass whipped like I used to as a kid, you know, for knowing too much, you know?
That's the thing with, like, you know, that's unfortunate, especially in our communities. Like, when you are thought to be too nerdy, you get ostracized, you get, you know, joked on a lot. And I grew up in the Midwest, so, like, we're very polite, right? And the way my family raised me was to, I don't want to say they purposely were like, make yourself small, but they were like, don't ruffle feathers.
Right.
Like, just take the L, just move on, like, it'll get better, whatever. And so I never knew how to be snappy and witty and have the comebacks, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, it was just like, I was just taking L's all the time. I'm like, I just want to read and learn shit. people are just like, no, I'm a motherfucker. You loser. And so for me, like, I had to proactively, like, learn about things, like, in regards to Black history. And even then, it's like, why are you doing that?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Giving yourself more work.
Always.
Know? Yeah, always. Right? Yeah. But
my wife is like, work hard, work smarter, not harder. I'm like, I don't know any other way.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. But
maybe West way of doing things, man. That's dope, though. That's dope.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like someone who learned the hard way in regards to, like, the work, and it was probably Willie O'Ree.
Mm.
You know, he was the first, he was the Jackie Robinson of hockey.
Of hockey, yes. That was an excellent segue, by the way.
I appreciate amazing. It. That's why I'm here, you know. but why'd you want to talk about Willie? Because I sent you a whole list of potential topics.
Because, you know, as Black people, hockey is not a sport we really know shit about. Yeah. Let's just keep it real. So when I stumbled across him, man, his story was very, you know, just exciting for me because, once again, you hear about Jackie Robinson, but we never heard about, or I never heard about the first Black, you know, professional hockey player. Yeah. So learning his story, you know, him, you know, being born in Canada, New Brunswick, you know wild, what I mean? Yeah.
Well, I saw New Brunswick, I'm like, oh, Jersey.
Right, like, that's the same thing Canada. I said. I'm like, it's New Brunswick in Canada?
Like, that's a weird popular name, yeah. I guess.
And that, too, I didn't know it was, you know, niggas in Canada before Drake. I didn't know that.
Well, that's how Drake came to be, you know?
Of course. But I'm just, it was dope just delving into who he is and just knowing his story. He went through a lot, of course, you know, coming into a white sport that is so white dominated, like hockey, man, as a Black man, you know, that shit. So just hearing his story and learning about him was like super, super crazy to me, man.
Yeah, he's been on the list for a long time. So I was happy when you picked him because for me, like, the first Black person I ever saw playing hockey was, I think, Brandon Adams in the first Mighty Ducks movie. Like,
right.
That's exactly what I had exposure to. So.
And that shit was amazing to me, too. Yeah, I'm like, you know.
We're not actively trying to go, like, not many Black people in general even ice skate.
Took the words out of my mouth, bro. I can't even stand up on ice skates. I've tried many times. Okay. Well, I'm crazy pigeon-toed and bow-legged, so I'm fucked up for a number of reasons. A lot of shit I can't do. But standing up on ice skates just don't work for me, you know. Okay. But you're right. That's not something we even do. Ice skating, you know. So to be in a sport and be a pro in hockey is crazy, man. Yeah. Crazy.
I used to rollerblade. But
of course
then,
you did.
I didn't,
of course.
I grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. But even then, I had the wherewithal not to grab a hockey stick and, like, try to, like, you know, slam around and hit a ball and shit. Just because I was like, one, I had a hard time stopping. I could go real fast.
Right.
But it was like the dude from Mighty Ducks 2. See, that's my only exposure to hockey. With the nigga who couldn't stop, that was me. And so I was like,
just
I'm never going to
skate real fast. Yeah. Motherfucker can't stop, man.
Yeah, man. I was like, I could never, I don't want to do that. So the fact that Willie was like, he started playing at the age of like 3.
Yeah, he did. And what bugged me out was, when you look into his history, like, I don't know if he came from in 1935 if niggas had money in Canada. Because when I went and looked into a story, it's like, they say, you know, he started practicing in the rink behind his house. I'm like, they had their own skating rink? Like, what kind of family did
it's
he
come from?
It's
probably just a lake, which is mad dangerous. But if you ain't got nothing else around, I guess, to play with, that's... But, yeah, man, that's wild.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. But hats off to him. Because even as a kid, you know, I'm sure people probably looked at him funny, like, you playing hockey, you know? And they probably colored back then, a colored guy playing hockey, you know, so...
In the 1930s, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, even... Between 1930 and 1960, I feel like hockey as a Black man is just, there's just so many issues. But probably it was so wild to white people, they didn't even know how to make sense of it.
Right.
They were probably so fucked up mentally from seeing it that they were like, I'm too fucked up to even be racist about this right now.
Right, right. I kind of even, you know, thought about how he felt like when he first got the call. I think his call up was in like 1958. Mm. You know what I mean? They called him up to play professionally. Like, yeah. That had to be scary. No matter how good think you are in hockey, you know, yeah, you playing in the minor leagues or whatever, even if they call it that in hockey. But then to get called up to the majors, like, one, yeah, you have to be excited and proud, but it's like, oh, man, because then you're going to be exposed to so much more. Mm. Racism, all that shit, man. Yeah. So, you know, just being a trailblazer and being, you know, courageous enough to even take that. Because some people might say, no, I'm good here. You know what I mean? I don't even want to deal with that shit. Yeah, the money good and all that, but I'm going to stay right here.
Yeah, I mean, he ended up going back to the minor leagues, too. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, like, he was with a Canadian minor league, got that was connected with the Boston Bruins, they pulled him up. And because he was playing with another black dude.
Yeah.
That it sounded kind of like, when you listen to interviews and stuff, it sounded like he kind of thought the other guy was better.
Was better. Yes. He scored more goals than him and all that.
Did that happen with Jackie Robinson too?
Yes.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Well, and not to, you know, go off on a tangent, but with Jackie Robinson, it's a lot of cats from the Negro League that say, you know, they were better ball players than Jackie Robinson. Not to take away from, you know,
his legacy. Of course.
But just saying, you know, I'm sure same things happened with Willie. Like, the other cat probably was like, damn, you know, I got to look and see if the other brother was dark-skinned. Because maybe he was a little darker.
I was thinking that too, but then it's like, I don't even know if these white people were even thinking about that shit enough to. Because I was thinking that with Jackie. I'm like, was there something maybe in the betting process where they're like, he'll play ball, like more, like he'll shut the fuck up.
Literally. Yeah, he'll play the game.
Even then, he didn't really. It was weird. Like, you know, you think about that, and then you're like, these are Russ. Oh, they probably weren't even giving a fuck. They were just like, oh, yeah, give him a shot.
Right. Because
no one else got shot for like, 13 something years after he was back to the minor leagues.
Yeah, that's true, man. And and another thing with him that was pretty dope, and not to jump too far ahead, but I also read that he played most of his career totally blind in his right eye.
Oh yeah, he got fucked up early in his career.
and they said it was from a hockey puck hitting him in the face. But I you know, he said that in an interview. But I wonder if that's really what happened. You know what I mean? Like. Because I could see a brother, you know, some of the white, he probably was busting their ass. Doing, you know us, we do shit with flair. He probably doing N1 mixtape shit on the hockey, you know, on the ice. Yeah. You know what I mean? Fucking them up, breaking ankles. And, you know, some of the white players were probably like, yo, this Negro up here showboating. And probably somebody probably hit him in the face with a stick or some shit, man. You know?
It's definitely possible. Like, I know that in, you know, our research, they were saying that, like, no one knew except for his sister about the injury. But for me, I'm like, the league must have cared so little if that's a true story. They must have cared so fucking little about his body, about his health, that he got hit with the puck in his face. It broke his cheekbone, like half his face. He was out for like 8 months, and they never did like a physical
to
clear him to come back.
Like, they just like, took if they his did, word for it and shit. Yeah, I'm good.
It was wild. But he said he had to turn far right in order to be able to see him like...
Yeah, that's crazy. And I never played hockey before, but I'm just thinking, like, in a sport like fucking hockey, you know, your blind side is, well, no pun intended, but you know what I mean? Real shit. Like, you got to be on a swivel all day, and to not be able to see this whole shit, like, it's crazy. But I that's a testament to us as black folks, man. Mm-hmm. We will make something happen with very little, you know what I mean? And we're going to fucking push through, and no matter how tough shit get, we're going to make it happen.
Resilient as hell, man.
Yeah, and see, and then knowing he played in fucking Boston. Boston, listen, I've done a lot of shows in Boston. I've traveled to Boston a lot. And I will say this. Boston may be the fucking most racist city in America. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It may be. And listen, I think it's
New Haven, Connecticut.
Oh, well, I've been there too.
Any place in Connecticut, I think, is way worse than, or even Pennsylvania. Connecticut and Pennsylvania, those are the only places, and mind you, I grew up in Michigan.
Right.
Only places I ever heard, like, white people that just freely saying, like, nigger. Oh. And, like, just going in.
With nothing. Like, yeah, but I mean, just having a play, and I think about, I look deeper into this shit, like, being on a team of, like, all white dudes, you're only black guy, right? I've heard stories of, like, you know, teams a lot of times when you're on the road, maybe one of your teammates cuts hair, some shit. You know, what the fuck did Willie do for a haircut? Them motherfuckers ain't know how to do no fade.
If somebody
offered
to give him a haircut, it was like going to Supercuts. He got fucked up.
Come on, man. Or they went out drinking and shit. Your teammates probably only drinking Manischewitz and shit. It probably was no Hennessy around. You know, like, come on,
man. Or Miller High Life and shit.
Yeah, you don't want that shit. Yeah. You know, so even socially, like, off the ice, his life was kind of, I'm sure it was fucking hard, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was so interesting about, like, it wasn't very clear what his, not that he had to have a philosophy on race, but, like, you know, like, because in the research it showed that he, like, had a long-term relationship with a white woman, and his family was like, of course, you don't do that.
Yeah, but his mother was very upset. She forbid it. Yeah.
But then so it was like, well, was he able to navigate that, like, almost like code switch, or was he just such a good guy that the team kind of, like, was cool with him, you know what I mean? Like,
once again, going back to a couple interviews I watched with him, right? I can tell that, and hats off to the brother. I wouldn't have been able to deal with what he dealt with, but he wanted the focus to be on him being a hockey player and not people being racist. Of course, he spoke about it, and he talked about how New York and what did he say? Chicago. New York and Chicago were the most racist cities. He dealt with people where if he was sitting in a penalty box during the game, they would throw stuff at him, call him a nigger.
A black cat on the
fucking. So you just came to the game with a fucking black cat? Like,
first of all, how'd you get through security? What kind of a stadium is this?
And to deal with all that shit. But he just seemed like a real prideful guy that kind of just let the shit, you know, slide. Like, okay, man, it is what it is. And he didn't want to put too much of a focus on the racism. But I know that shit had to be hard. Like, so he had to be a master code switcher. Because to make it in, once again, a sport that is dominated by white people, to make it and be successful, you had to be a master code switcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because who knows? He might have lost his life, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows what could happen? It's, and we talking about 1958, the 60s and shit. Yeah. Come on, man.
But to my earlier point, though, I wonder, because it was hockey, I wonder how many white people actually cared, besides the ones that saw him in person at the arena for the games that were then like, oh, like let's give this guy a hard time. Because when he first joined the major leagues, no one published it. It wasn't a big deal at all.
It wasn't. Yeah.
Right? Like, no one barely acknowledged it.
It wasn't in any papers or anything. Yeah.
He was like, even then, he was like, I didn't really want it to be that big of a deal or whatever. And you're like, okay, well, that's wild to be a pioneer. Like, and then you think about, okay, so then maybe people were just like, whatever, like, we don't give a fuck. Like, because maybe it's because he was wearing a helmet. Maybe it's just because they just want to see people beat the shit out of each other. Like, I don't know. Hockey's a weird sport. I don't watch hockey at all. Full disclosure.
Neither do I. Neither do I.
I can tell you, like, besides Detroit Red Wings, I cannot tell you another.
I can't, and this is something I'll share, a personal anecdote, man. You know, by day, I work in a school, you know, that is predominantly white. And for fashion, like, I always wanted a Wayne Gretzky hockey jersey.
Okay.
So last year, I got my Wayne Gretzky hockey jersey, and I wear it to work, right? On dress down day, and everyone's saying, oh, go Rangers, man, and they naming players and shit like that. And I'm looking at them like, I don't know who the fuck plays for the Rangers. I don't know shit about hockey. Yeah. I'm not a fan. Like, I'm wearing this shit because I like how the jersey looks. It looks good with construction Timbs and some jeans, man. Okay. I always wanted it. But they, you know, they, and
you like,
I
you like the white kids that used to wear the Che Guevara shirts.
Exactly. They don't know who he is. You know what I mean? So I don't even tell them because they seem so excited to be able to bond with me over something. They like, oh, go Rangers. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about the Rangers and I don't know who plays. You know, so and to kind of to your point that white people sometimes in their own world with shit, and especially hockey, everyone is in the stands drunk. Maybe some motherfuckers didn't even realize he was black, you know?
Yeah, because, like, you look at him sometimes, you're like, especially here.
Right there.
I'm thinking, like, folks, you got to watch the video, but he's very, in photos at least, he comes off light-skinned.
Yeah, you might think that's Barack Obama fucking in a Bruins jersey, you know what I mean?
Man, the wild thing about Willie, like, playing hockey is that the amount of skill you have, one, to play the sport, I imagine, then to have to deal with all, like, the mental shit. Because, you know, people in hockey, like you said, like, they're drunk, they do heckle a lot. It doesn't matter what ratio. If you're in that box, the penalty box, you get a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But it's also like, do you think offline, and maybe we just never heard the stories, Willie showed that he was a bad motherfucker?
I think,
like,
he had to.
Maybe he did one or two things where everyone was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, don't fuck with Willie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I could see him doing some wild shit, maybe, like, in the lockers or whatever after the game. Somebody says something. Maybe, you know, fucked one of his teammates up ass naked. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you whip somebody's ass with no clothes on. That's making a statement. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Pause. You know, but maybe he had to. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I'm sure they were intimidated. Black man, ass naked, you know, that's enough. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he like, this my team now, motherfucker. You know what I mean? So I'm sure he did some things to kind of let them know, like, I ain't no bitch.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because how would he last that long? You know what I mean? He had.
He didn't last too long in the major leagues.
Well, I was going to say, though, just even in the minors. I'm sure even the minor leagues. Yeah. It was predominantly white people there. It's just a, you know, a smaller scale.
Yeah.
You know, so just to last in a sport, Because most people playing hockey back then, I'm sure there was a lot of cats, a lot of brothers that started out maybe in the minors, and because of racism and all that shit, not feeling like they belong, they probably said, fuck this shit. I'm going to play basketball like everybody else or football or some shit. You know, I'm cold. You know, black folks, we don't like cold climates.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No. And so.
That's true.
Come on.
Now, to that point, though, do you think, because he was only in the National Hockey League for about a season or two, and he was decent, but he wasn't great. He wasn't like pulling up like the equivalent of Jordan stats in the
One season he scored four goals. I was like, come on, Willie.
But do you think that that's the reason why it kind of like, not that it petered out, but like he didn't face the brunt of a lot of like historical pioneers who were like in different sports faced the way he probably could have. Like if he became a huge superstar, it might have been a different story.
I totally agree.
Okay.
Because it seems like, and once again, not taking anything away from his brother's legacy, you know, for him just being brave enough to, you know, deal with all that and play hockey was amazing.
Yeah.
But if he was like a superstar, like, you know, on a Wayne Gretzky level back then or something, or just killing him, like scoring fucking three goals a game and shit like that, it might be like, oh, hold the fuck up. We got to do something about this.
Yeah.
You know, and because maybe it wasn't that, maybe it was easier for them to deal with and say, okay, we're going to let him rock. You know, and if he was that kind of player, once again, not taking anything away from him, I think we would know the story. More of us would know the story.
Yeah.
Because it would be some shit like, oh, maybe Willie, you know, in the playoffs, he scored 10 goals by himself. And after he, you know, the whole team was waiting for him in a parking lot, and he beat up the whole team after, you know, with one hand tied behind his back or some shit, you know. So
there's no Disney moment.
It's not. Yeah. It's not. And I think that because when I looked at his stats, they were a bit lackluster.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big, you know, hockey buff, but four goals in a season, I'm thinking that's not a lot.
Yes.
You know, but then too, like I'm sure motherfuckers wasn't giving him the puck. You know what I mean? He on a fast break if they call a shit in hockey, motherfuckers faking to his side and giving it to the other, you know, so he dealt with a lot of that shit too, I'm sure, trying to like ice him out, no pun intended, you know. So
yeah, it's real quick before I forget this trivia fact that you mentioned Gretzky earlier. He was actually on, Willie O'Ree was on an episode of Everybody Hates Chris called Everybody Hates Gretzky.
Get out of here.
Yeah, he did a cameo on that.
Oh, I got to look that up. I'm going to watch that tonight. Yeah. I have to.
He's still out here, man. He's 88 years old. He's still, you know, he got inducted to the National Hockey Hall of Fame.
In 2018. Stuff.
Yeah. He got the congressional gold medal honor by Biden in 2022, which is wild because, like we said, he was a pioneer in the sport for sure. But he was just okay. Like,
right.
You know, it's wild because it's kind of like I personally think that Obama is one of the best presidents of all time.
Of course.
But a lot of people are like, he had mixed results, so now we're not going to get a black president for a long time.
Right.
And I feel like that's what they kind of did to Willie in a way.
Of course.
Like, he was okay. And so that's why another black player didn't join the National League until like 13 years later.
Right. Well, I'm going to go on record saying this. Obama was amazing. He did an amazing job. I got to say that because I don't want to go outside and get fucked up. And I do believe that.
But
I just feel like we just not going to have another black president for a while because it's almost like America said, all right, let's give them this and shut them the fuck up.
Kind of, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and, for sure. And who knows when we'll see it again.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a long time.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Sadly.
And the way that we're going to it, who we're elected and stuff like that, it's going to probably be, you mentioned Drake, it's probably going to be his son with that goofy-ass fro that he has fucking running for president. Adonis? What's his name? Adonis Creed or some shit?
Adonis Creed. Whatever that nigga's
name is. I'm sorry. He's a kid. I shouldn't be calling him a nigga. But.
That's why I say shit. You know what I mean? But that was funny.
He looked crazy.
It was funny, though. Drake going to do a diss track about you, though. Just know that.
He's not going to call my name out.
Right.
He's like, refer to these people. Oh, that brother with the Drunk Black History show. Like, just say my name. Why are you being weird?
That's Drake.
Fucking Canadians.
Right. Exactly.
Be direct. That's probably why. I mean, you know what it is? He probably checked the shit out of people.
Oh, he probably
when
did.
When he checked you, it probably hurt.
Oh, I'm sure. Knocking teeth out and all that shit. Yeah. I'm sure.
Well, I mean, he got his teeth knocked out too, apparently. I mean,
I did read that.
And like you said, like it was, you know, they already do that, but you know, there was an extra oomph
of course
behind that shit.
Of course, man. I'm sure he got his ass whipped a few times, and the refs didn't break it up. I'm sure there was like 3-4 motherfuckers on him. Ain't like, nah, he can handle it. Big, strong black guy, you know. So I'm sure it was. Listen, I hope. Does he have a book?
I don't think so. I mean, he just started doing interviews. Like, he did like a lot of interviews during one stretch, I think, because he was getting inducted in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and like, you know, black issues become very popular these days.
Yeah, it's the cool thing now. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But it's like, that's what's frustrating too. It's like, because it's still a lot of mainstream people. I was very surprised there's as much coverage about Willie O'Ree as there was online.
Yeah, there'll probably be a Willie O'Ree line in Target soon next, you know, by Juneteenth or some shit. Some jerseys, you know how they do some.
I mean, they retired his jersey, right? The Boston Bruins.
Listen, I could see a jersey, though. Probably have some Kente cloth on them or shit like that.
But I don't even think people like hockey like that.
You know, but like I said, for a style thing. True. You know what I mean? Like, we wear hockey jerseys and shit like that.
Yeah, I know. You know. Yeah, there's definitely some rappers that like worn like a O'Ree jersey.
Of course, I was about to say I gotta look and see if they got any throwbacks or something. Mitchell and Ness, if you're listening, that O'Ree throwback, baby, you know, get that shit. Probably be on sale, but you know.
But I really do like. I'm fascinated by the fact that he did play blind for most of his career, and no one knew.
Listen, man.
Like, he didn't have any discoloration in his eye or nothing. That's wild.
Listen, and most black people, I'm going to say this, if that happens, you know, we already, just imagine if you on your job or some shit and some shit hits you in your eye, you go on disability and say, fuck it, I can, get paid for the rest of my life, I ain't got to do shit. Mm-hmm. This brother continued to go to work playing fucking hockey with one eye.
Yeah.
That's like some Marvel shit, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, he loves it. That's how you know he loved it. When he was playing that young... his brother also helped him train.
His older brother, yeah.
When he was 10, he started learning how to check people. That's probably like, wow, people shut the fuck up.
That's right.
He's like, I've been doing this since before I was double digits, motherfucker. So, question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Willie O'Ree played hockey, and that's a lot of games in the season. How familiar are you with soccer?
Not really, man. My son started playing soccer when he was like in fifth grade. So then I started, like, I know whoever, Neymar and Ronaldo and all of them. But I played soccer one time in my entire life.
Yeah.
Then I got kicked in the fucking shin. That was it for me. I retired after one. I retired. So I don't know much about soccer, but I know a little bit.
Okay. You know? But you know, they play like a lot of games in the season, like long ass games.
Right, right.
Like, and obviously we know about basketball, football. Do you think hockey is like the most? What do you think in regards to difficulty? Like, hockey stands. Do you think it's like the top tier? Do you think it's like in the middle?
I never thought about this shit until today because I don't watch hockey. But just knowing like everything, you're playing a sport when you're on fucking ice skates, first of all. Fighting is legal. Like, in basketball, you can't just be going for a layup and motherfucker just come and punch you in the back of your head. True, you know what I mean? In hockey, you could do shit like that. Or just, you know, come, you think you got an open goal and somebody just checks you and knock you out of some shit. So I would say, from a physical standpoint, how many games do they play in a hockey season? Do you know?
It's at least 70-plus, because that's how many Willie played in one season.
Wow, get the fuck out of here. So, hockey has to be up there. Like, I would say hockey and football because the physicality of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, soccer is physical, too. Like I said, I got kicked in the shin, and, you know, guys get hurt and you laying your body out there. But just, you know, the physicality of hockey and soccer, I mean, hockey and football. You know, hockey is so much shit. You got a puck. You know, that's another thing. You're skating around with a heavy ass fucking stick.
Yeah, those sticks are heavy, man.
Then you got to hit a little puck. Like, it shit just seemed like a lot, man. I don't see, like, my attention span and the way I am, I wouldn't make it with hockey. So hockey and football got to be up there.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, especially because, like, when you get hit with a soccer ball in the face, like, it sucks, but, like, you also, like, know how to budget. Budget. That was weird. We were drinking, folks.
Yeah, it's all right.
We're drinking some vodka and ginger ale, so we kind of lit. But, you know, football, you got so many pads that it's like,
This is true.
Right? Basketball, not really getting hurt.
Right.
A puck in the face.
Crazy.
Willie got fucked up. You would get fucked up.
Yeah, and like I said, that shit would make me want to quit.
Yeah, I don't know if I can play.
Motherfucker hit me in the face with a puck?
Yeah.
You imagine how I'd be like, nah, I'm good. I'm good, man.
That is like, I feel like the most the other most dangerous thing that could happen to you at a sports event, besides getting hit by a puck, would be if you're like a NASCAR and a tire flies off.
Exactly.
And hits you in the face.
Exactly. Another sport I know nothing about. Have you ever been to a NASCAR race?
Yeah. Never. I'm not gonna pay to watch cars race around when I used to do that shit when I was 7 years old with Hot Wheels. That's insane to me.
That seems stupid as hell. It does.
It's so crazy. It's so intense. I'm like, unless it's Talladega Nights and I have a Ricky Bobby kind of dude running around naked and shit, I don't care.
And they do, like, you know what I mean, 500 laps around that shit. Sometimes, like, come on, man, how long is that shit?
Yeah.
I got better shit to do.
Exactly, yeah. You know, everybody on their phone anyway at that thing.
Especially now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's another sport. Like I said, hockey, fucking NASCAR. I'm not a big golf guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't stand golf.
Yeah, so.
I tried to play golf once in Florida. My grandparents used to live down in the Villages. And I remember, like, tee time was, like, fucking 5 a.m. or some shit. And I remember going there to my grandfather. I'm like, I feel like it's going to be less than 5 minutes before an old white guy calls me Tiger. We got off the golf cart. Old white dude and his friend. Oh, we got a little Tiger Woods on the court.
Wow.
And it's not even a court. It's a course. They're, like, crazy race. They're stupid races, too. It's weird. Yeah, man. Racism in sports is wild.
It is, man. And going back to Willie's upbringing, right? Yeah. Like, once again, I said, like, maybe did his family come from money? Because I don't know what his parents did for a living or whatever.
His dad's an engineer, right?
You know what? I think I did read something like that.
Yeah, but even then, you know, he was getting underpaid.
Of course he was.
But he was probably scary as hell.
He probably made like $5 a week being a fucking engineer.
Yeah, because even in Hidden Figures, all those scientists, they got paid like nothing.
Yes, yes.
And they helped put a man on the moon.
That's another thing I wish I would have looked at, what Willie's salary was compared to the white players.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, that's why they gave him all the medals.
Yeah, of course.
That's why they gave him all the awards, because once they started opening them books, you know, once they started looking at what they were writing in those ink feather pens back in the 1940s with the bookkeeper. Listen,
I'm sure he played a few games for free. Like, Willie, you know, we got you next week or some shit, or gave him an actual IOU or some shit.
Or he got taxed some extra fees and shit like that, for laundry.
Right, of course.
Like, extra separate laundry fee and stuff like that. You know they did some wild shit.
You know he had to pay nigga taxes, man. You know what I mean? And which is fucked up because, you know, like, he went through enough.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he was gravely underpaid. But I was
Did
thinking.
They have sports agencies and stuff like that back then?
Hell no, man.
No, right?
Hell
they didn't have no sponsorships or, like,
nah.
Everybody was
fucking Lamar Jackson back then. I'm sure everybody was fucking Lamar Jackson, especially black guys. You wouldn't be allowed to have no fucking agent.
I was just thinking about, like, who would he be, like, a sponsor of? Like, would it be, like, Bazooka Gum or some shit?
Of course, some shit like that, man. Come on, man.
But, like, Bazooka Gum had that white boy on it, though.
What Bazooka was the black Joe. Bazooka Joe was on there. Let me see what.
So he'd be
Willie
like Bazooka Jones's. Yeah.
Maybe like his fucking whatever the collard green company was back then. Willie Love Glory Greens or some shit. I don't know. That's probably the only shit they would let him do. You know
he wasn't eating no collard greens, being on a hockey, fucking shitting himself. In them hockey pants with all those layers. He can't get them off in time.
Hey, right. That'd be fucked up.
Actually,
too.
That is one thing. Like, if I were, like, because they had to wear a lot of pads and, like, thick stuff, like, you could kind of just piss yourself and, like, it'd
and
be,
nobody would know.
Yeah. It's like it's like wearing the pens.
See, and that's some shit. See, we crafty. A black guy would think of some shit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go use a bathroom. Coach might get mad. Let me just piss right here.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe that's how he scored a lot of his goals. You know, maybe his nickname was Pissy Willie. You never know. You know? Pissy Willie O'Ree.
It's like, he secretly got sent to the minor leagues because of his, I don't know. Willie, we love you, man.
We do. We're supposed to be uplifting the black man.
But he was dope. I mean, he's still out here representing the sport. He's trying to make it accessible, especially to young black youth, people of color. He's, like, going to underserved communities and, like, creating sports programs that are focused on hockey. And, like, that's commendable because, again, that's a hard fucking sell. If you go into Red Hook, Brooklyn, trying to talk about ice skating.
Hockey is expensive as shit. That's why I said, did he come from money? Like, okay, his dad was an engineer. Well, what the fuck did his mother do? Because, you know, most of us play basketball because all you need fucking sneakers.
Yep.
You might have to pay for a uniform or a jersey or basketball. Yeah. Hockey, you got to play for fucking skates. If I came home and told my mother I want to play hockey, she's like, well, you got to buy ice skates, a helmet, pads.
The stick. Yep.
The fuck? Hell no. That's why you got to sharpen them and shit. You can't say you outgrew skates. You need another pair. Yeah. Hell no.
Yeah, that is true. That is the thing. It's like it's a very expensive sport. I remember when I was in Ann Arbor, like I used to row crew, and that shit was mad expensive.
That whole sentence sounded really white.
I'm working through it with therapy. I remember I told my therapist, I'm like, yeah, man, I used to row. He was like, why?
What, dice, like, motherfucker? Like, what he said the first time, I said, roll, you play a little CeeLo. All right, okay, yeah. Oh, you roll.
That shit was mad expensive.
I'm sure.
You had to pay the dues for, like, the boat, like, just the maintenance on these boats was crazy expensive.
That's crazy. Let me ask you, so did you have, like, a nickname? Like, did they call you, like,
not that I knew of.
The Black Silver Surfer or some shit like that?
No, it wasn't like that, but I was, like, you're going to say pause in this, but I was the coxman. I was the driver. I was the dude, because I was small enough where I could fit in the front.
A coxman. Like, come on.
Well, because like all the other dudes were fucking juiced up like athlete bros.
So wait. What is the job of coxman?
So the coxman is the dude, that the person that sits in the front of the boat,
of course,
essentially hypes. He's like the hype man for the boat, and also he steers it. So what was crazy was the first time I did it, because my coach was like, I really think you could be good at this, and there's scholarships. He's saying there's not just scholarships for this shit. If you get good at it.
Scholarships to be a coxman?
But he was like, there's scholarships to Ivy Leagues.
Wow. Because
they're always looking for like diversity in this sport, and they look like, he like could try to sell me on it. I was like, I mean, we'll try it out. Yo, I almost destroyed a $30,000 boat, because this shit was going mad fast, and I already am a terrible driver. They didn't do a background check.
That's hilarious. I'm just thinking, man, they should do like a movie about your fucking career in high school.
I used to have a bit about it, but the
Black Coxman. Yeah, man. Yeah. That shit sound like a porno.
It felt like it sometimes. I mean, the thing is, you know, I was able to fill in those shorts, so I was a very popular dude on the team. But I only lasted like 2 seasons. I couldn't keep up with it.
How about like, okay, do you come from a long line of coxmans? Like, how do you become that and want to do that shit?
You know, like, what it is? Everything I did in Michigan, I feel like a lot of stuff I did was for attention.
I was clearly trying to get
the attention of my father, who like I never met, who was still, I knew for a fact was still in my hometown.
You never met your dad?
Never met my dad.
I didn't see that coming with all that white shit you just said. How ironic.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, man, because I was trying to get
you
his attention.
You all black, my man. We got you back. All right. Nah, that's
I was trying to get his attention, though. That's why. Because it was like, I was like, I played bassoon in school. Like, I did a lot of wild shit. Yeah, man. I was that weird kid. Because I always tried new shit, but I was also like, I want to do something where at least like one day Richard will know about me. And it's like, he never knew.
Let me ask you a question, bro. This is just off topic.
Yeah.
Favorite movie as a kid?
Favorite movie as a kid?
As a kid.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park.
Still my favorite movie.
You ever seen the movie Last Dragon?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Shout out to Rotten Tomatoes Is Wrong. I just did their podcast. Last guest of their podcast ever. Talked about Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
All right, cool. See? He brought you back. All right.
Yeah, man.
You are the black cocks.
You didn't ask me what I thought of the movie, though. I'm just joking.
I was about to say,
it's
bro.
Fucking nuts, though. We can admit it's crazy, right?
Crazy good? Like, what's crazy about it?
Okay. Well,
a black man can't be a kung fu master. Two black men, is that what you're saying, brother?
I did not say
that. So what's crazy about it?
Bruce Leroy is eating popcorn with chopsticks, wearing a straw hat. In a crowded fucking Chinatown movie theater. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life. And this nigga with football pads bursts into the door saying, who's the master? It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Like, you know how much cocaine you had to be on to write that scene?
Yeah.
I'm not saying The Last Dragon is a bad movie. I love The Last Dragon.
Blasphemy.
The Last Dragon is just a time capsule in the 80s that is just so fucking cuckoo bananas. You have to know what you're getting into. You can't just go into the Last Dragon blind and be like, okay, like I feel like you kind of had to know. And the one thing I will say that really does not hold up with The Last Dragon is that whole weird Cyndi Lauper storyline. with the bad dude.
Yeah.
I could have done without that.
But listen, it's a movie.
It's fun, right? It's a fun
movie. And
you got a homie from Surf Ninjas and Kato. Was it Kato or Kino from Turtles?
I have no idea.
The little kid. The little kid who does the little...
Oh, the little Asian dude. Yeah. I think it was Kino.
Kino, right?
Yeah. That grew up to be a bad motherfucker, too.
Yeah, but Secret of the Ooze, man.
All that, too, man. Like how his little students came and you know.
That was fun.
They came to rescue him and they all was fucking up all the villains
that
and all
that.
That
one kid got fucked up, though. That was hilarious.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah.
Well, Last Dragon is the best movie ever. I just want to say that. That's all.
Like, you stand by that. You think it's.
Yeah, that's my favorite movie of all time, bro.
In regards to black culture films, that's the best.
That's my favorite movie of all time.
Okay.
Yep, I have a lot, but that's my... Anybody that knows me and you ask them what's my favorite movie, Last Dragon.
You know what's wild? I was thinking about this because I do a movie review podcast and stuff.
Mm.
And I was thinking about Paid in Full.
Because
I have a friend who randomly, like this Indian dude who lives in Long Island City, he's a lawyer. He was at Union Square, like the market, and it was this artist. And he was like, oh, I just really like this mural. And I bought it. And it's of Cameron Wood Harris... And Mekhi Phifer from Paid in Full.
People get shot every day, B.
Yo, but it's like,
tough,
why
right? You'll be all right.
Yeah.
Classic, too.
Yeah. But for me, that would probably be my favorite black.
Okay, so good. That's a good choice, too.
Such a fucking crazy. That's a crazy movie, too.
It is. And it's based on real life, though.
Yeah, that's what blew me away, too.
Yeah. All that shit happened. Most of that shit really happened.
Man, I made enough money to feed biscuits for the whole project.
Yeah. What? Come on.
First of all, that's labor extensive, so that's a... That's a lot, man. But real quick, going back to Willie O'Ree as we wrap this up, what would you say is the most important takeaway people should have about Willie and his legacy?
Well, I would say, you know, and it sounds cliche, right? Mm. People always say outside of your comfort zone is where the magic happens, right?
Mm.
I know this brother was super uncomfortable, and he could have took the easy way out and said, listen, I'm not going to continue to play hockey. Yeah. I'm tired of dealing with the racism, the abuse. Like we said, he probably was underpaid. So I think, like, you know, going outside of your comfort zone, looking for that magic, and sticking to something. Mm. You know what I mean? He could have really quit and said, fuck it. But, you know, sometimes it's bigger than you. I'm sure he thought about while he was going through all this. You know, I'm blazing the trail for young black people that'll come after me that want to play hockey. If I don't do this and stick through this, what are they going to do? If I quit, there may not be another black, you know, professional hockey player.
Sure.
So basically just understanding, too, anything worth having is going to be difficult to obtain. I know I just said mad shit. I didn't stick to one. But just all those things really resonated with me, man. And sometimes we complain about shit and, you know, and it ain't really that bad, saying that simply. But he was amazing. He, you know, did great things. And I salute Willie, man.
Yeah.
Word.
And I will say, like, Willie affirmed, especially for folks that grew up, like, in the 30s, lived through the civil rights era and stuff like that, to hear Willie say, oh, yeah, America was far the most racist place I played.
Yeah.
I traveled. I think back, like, old interviews with James Baldwin, where he's like, I went to Europe, and, like, yeah, they have racism there, but... It's nothing
not like here. Yeah.
Like what you face here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what scares me about the revisionist history. And that's why I appreciate having people like you come on to help me continue driving, you know, this show to continue elevating our people. You know, I know we tease Willie a little bit because of the hockey thing.
Of
but,
course.
You know, that's the thing that shows that black people aren't a monolith. You know,
right.
We talked about
that's
me
right.
playing crew. Your son plays soccer. So right. It's not, we don't all just play basketball and football and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or just rappers and things like that. There's a lot of different layers to us
exactly.
as people, and that's what I appreciate about you picking Willie O'Ree.
Listen, man, thanks for having me, and you articulated that really well, man.
That's what I'm here for, you know?
That's why you were the black coxman.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. But I did not get a scholarship. Please tell the people how they can follow you and on social media platforms, all that stuff.
Javon M. Johnson on everything. Javon M. Johnson, J-E-V-O-N M. Johnson. Javon, not Javon. Yep. You know, Johnson, not Walker, but Javon M. Johnson on everything, man.
Thank you, Javon, so much for coming through. Y'all know you can follow me at Frodo_Blackins on Threads and Instagram. every time I say that fucking name. You can follow the show at Official Drunk Black History on all social media platforms. Thank you, as always, to LV Pro Film House.
Indeed.
For letting us use their space for this podcast. Be sure to go to their website. Check out for any abilities to rent the space. It's amazing. And we'll catch y'all next month. Till then, peace.
Cheers to Willie, man.
Cheers, man.
To Willie. Salute.